This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The South by Southwest Music Conference is underway in Austin, Texas. It's a showcase for new bands from around the country that attracts record industry people looking for emerging talent. My guest Alejandro Escovedo was one of the hits of last year's festival and has several performances coming up this year. Last night, he was named Songwriter of the Year at the Austin Music Awards. Escovedo is a singer, songwriter, and guitarist with a new album called 13 Years. It's the second album under his own name, but he's been performing for close to 20 years in different settings, like the punk band The Nuns, the cowboy rock band Rank and File, and the rock band True Believers. Let's open with the song The Ballad of the Sun and the Moon from Alejandro Escovedo's new album, 13 Years.
Can you hear the cannon and the fighting? Can you feel the soldiers when they're marching? They came, they took my sister away. They came and they took her away. That's the ballad of the sun.
Alejandro Escovedo, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
The Ballad of the Sun and the Moon that we've been listening to, what inspired the song and what is it about to you?
The song was inspired by stories that my father told me. My father was born in Saltillo, Mexico, which is in northern Mexico. And he just used to tell us a lot of stories about growing up in the mountains and about, actually part of it is about Pancho Villa's troops coming through and taking the young women having to be hidden from the soldiers. And so I just really tried to capture the feel of the mountains, and a lot of that was inspired by driving through the West Texas area, you know, in between Austin and El Paso, actually.
There's a line in that song, they came and took my sister away.
Right.
Was there somebody in the family who was taken?
No, I just kind of threw that in there.
Right. But, okay. let me play another song by you. It's actually the title song from your new album, 13 Years. Okay. Is there a story behind this song?
Yeah. 13 Years was a song I wrote for Bobby. It was a...
She was your wife.
Right. It came at a time when we had been together for 13 years and lived in San Francisco and New York and then Austin. My career was pretty... things were pretty quiet. No one was really calling me up on the phone or anything. And she had, you know, stood behind me all that time and... I tried to write it from her perspective, a woman who's lived with a musician for 13 years and really kind of just questions whether it was all worth it. And, you know, there's times when really the only thing you have to offer is a song. So that was it for me. And that's why I wrote this for her.
So this was your attempt to see your relationship from her point of view?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, yeah, I guess it was.
Did you see it differently after trying that?
Well, I mean, I always understood how hard it was, you know, and I don't know, a woman who lives with a musician is sometimes looked upon as just merely an extension of you know, the man's personality or whatever, you know, you're Alejandro's girlfriend or you're Alejandro's wife instead of being Bobby, you know, so I think that always really bothered her, and I don't know, I just wanted to write this song for her.
Mm-hmm. That's a great song. Let's hear it. It's 13 Years, the title song from Alejandro Escovedo's new album.
13 years I followed you. What do I have that isn't blue? 1,000 promises fall on me. You know the end of it I can't see. From San Francisco to New York, All I seem to do is work. My feet hurt and it's not from dancing close to you.
For many years, you performed other people's songs, and now you're performing your own. And some of the songs, like the one we just heard, are really very personal. It must have completely changed the act of performing for you, because you're performing material that's very close to you.
It changed it dramatically. I don't find it difficult to write the songs because, in fact, I find it very easy to write in that style. A personal, you know, to write personal songs, but there was times when I would get very, and I still do get very self-conscious about performing these songs in front of people who are basically there to drink and you know, enjoy the nightlife or whatever. And there's some guy just really kind of bleeding on stage. It doesn't always mix well.
Let me play another song from your album. This is called Tell Me Why. Can you tell us what the song is about?
Well, once again, this is a song about you know, it's a combination of things. It's a song that was actually written before my wife died, and I finished it after she had died. And so during the time that we were separated, I was very distraught and really not sure of what was going on. I was very confused, and afterwards it's just kind of like, you know, I found that there's never an answer to these questions as to why, you know, she did that and why it happened. So that's what it's about.
Your wife took her own life.
Right.
So you had been separated before?
Yeah.
Before that?
Right. I was living in my own apartment for a while.
Well, let's hear the song. This is called Tell Me Why.
Tell me why you had to walk away. You never stopped to say goodbye. Tell me why time changes everything. And then we're left to sing alone. I don't know what to do. I just wish I could see your face and they say that time heals all. I don't believe them. I don't believe them.
I think there's a fair number of your fans and certainly of music critics who know that your wife had committed suicide, and there's a temptation, I think, to hear that in many of your songs, to hear the new album as being largely about that and about that period of your life. Would it be fair to hear the album in that way, or just does it bother you when people hear it in that context?
Well, I think it's partly correct, but I think a lot of it is that, you know, a lot of those songs, like you say, everyone associates those songs, I mean, Gravity and 13 Years, with her death. A lot of the songs were written before Bobby died. A lot of them have to do with the woman that I'm now married to, you know. I think 13 Years is kind of like, a friend of mine last night, as a matter of fact, came up to me and said he finally understood what the album was about, because you kind of see this kind of like journey from her death and working through that to She Towers Above, which is a song I wrote for for Dana, you know, who's now my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I just got married 2 days ago.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. So I'm very happy. I mean, you know, my life has changed a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's...
My children and my home.
Well, it must be kind of paradoxical for you in a way to have this album, which does have some songs of mourning on it, come out at a time that coincides with a celebration in your life,
right,
a wedding.
Right.
So in some ways, I guess it's almost a little out of sync, but maybe that's good because it's probably maybe a little easier to sing certain songs when you have a little bit of emotional distance on it.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. There are certain songs that I just don't do every performance because they require a certain kind of state that I'm not always in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided not to try to play those songs every night, you know. So it is kind of strange because I am very, very happy at this point, and yet my music doesn't necessarily reflect that, you know.
My guest is Alejandro Escovedo. His new album is called 13 Years. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with Austin-based singer-songwriter Alejandro Escovedo. Let me ask you a little bit about your background. You're Mexican-American. You were born in San Antonio, grew up in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of neighborhood did you grow up in?
Well, in San Antonio, we lived pretty much out in the country, you know. We lived... We didn't have many neighbors out there. And when we moved to California, we first moved to Orange, California. That was like 57. So it was still pretty much orange groves and avocado orchards, and the trains were still running through and everything. There were still hobos around. And it was kind of still a very rural atmosphere until I moved to Huntington Beach, which was kind of just a beach town, you know. But... I didn't really grow up in the barrio, if that's what you're asking me.
Mm-hmm. What kind of work did your parents do?
My father has done, you know, my father's 87 now.
Hmm.
So when he moved from Saltillo, he was very young. I think he was about 12 years old. And he was, you know, doing migrant work and ended up doing all sorts of things. He was a singer in a mariachi band. He played semi-pro ball. He was a prize fighter. He worked on ships, shipyards in Northern California. He ended up being a plumber. And my mother was raised us, you know, all her life. And she's still alive. They live in Southern California in Chula Vista.
Did a lot of people assume that since you were Chicano that you should like either Mexican music or salsa and not gravitate toward rock or punk rock?
Uh-huh. Yes, I get a little of that, but not as much. There are, especially here in Texas, there's a lot of Chicano kids who love rock and roll, and San Antonio especially is a hotbed and one of the centers for, you know, heavy metal. I mean, you know, it's a real working class kind of thing, and I don't know, it's funny, you know, growing up with my friends who did live in the barrio, I remember that all the guys who were kind of lowriders, you know, we all listened to, you know, we listened to the Midnighters, we listened to the Temptations, the Four Tops, but also bands like the Doors and Creedence Clearwater were very, very popular, you know. And, you know, you'd find those 8-tracks in you know, not only in the guys who were surfers, but also in the lowriders too. So there's a lot of cross-cultural thing that happens in Southern California, especially, you know.
I believe your brother, one of your brothers, Pete, played in Santana's band?
Both my brother Pete and Coke played with Santana, and then they went on to form their own band. Originally, they had a band called the Escovedo Brothers, which was a Latin jazz, kind of like a Cal Jader type band.
Mm-hmm.
Then Santana, then they had their band called Azteca. And now they've gone on to play with, you know, Pete has gone on to play with all sorts of famous musicians, you know, from Willie Bobo, Tito Puente, Cal Jader, all sorts of people.
Mm-hmm. I want to play another song of yours, and this is a song from your previous album, Gravity. and the song is called Broken Bottle. Would you say something about this song?
This is a song I wrote about a man who's involved in a relationship but has fallen in love with another woman, and this is just kind of a song of love, but he's finding it hard to express it.
Is this song about you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it. This is Broken Bottle.
If I could reveal what I feel for you, mark my words with a gentle kiss, like St. George, I'd slay the dragon just to find I'd lost. From outside this window, there's walls between us. Outside is outside, and that's where I'll be. I'll be wrapped in the morning dew, just to find you've gone. So pour me a drink from a broken bottle. Fill my glass with the dirty water. What I've lost is gone. What I've gained has no name. I'll take my leave once more.
When did you write the song?
Oh, see, I wrote it as I was, as Bobby and I were splitting up, actually. We had been having a hard time, you know, a very difficult time. We were definitely starting to see things very differently. And I wrote it then.
When your wife, Bobby, committed suicide, you had already broken up. And in trying to imagine what that period was like for you, I find myself wondering if you went through a period of feeling really guilty, like somehow maybe the breakup had something to do with it.
You know, that's the most difficult thing that I live with. It's, I don't know, you understand, you know, I can intellectualize that a person makes their final decisions, and that ultimately it's the responsibility of the individual, but at the same time you can't help thinking that your involvement in that person's life didn't affect them in a way that maybe wasn't positive. You know, it's like when you live with someone for, you know, almost 15 years, there's no way that, you know, I just know that that our lives were too caught up in each other not to have some sort of effect.
Have you written a song about that feeling yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Would that be too hard to write about?
I don't. You know, I think it might be really good for me to kind of like try to express it, because it is a very strange thing. Guilt is something that really can, you know, just kind of eat you away, you know. You know, the thing about it is that you don't know, there's no answer. There's no, you know, complete answer to this question, you know. There's no sorting out, like, you know, why this happened, you know. There's all sorts of elements. I'm sure her life, you know, had to have had something to do with it. You know, her relationship with not only me, but her parents and, you know, all those things that affect you and kind of mold your personality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's a cop-out or, you know. I mean, I'm not trying to take the blame away from myself, but I don't, you know, I certainly don't want to think that I'm the sole responsibility for that, you know. Does that make,
yeah,
if that makes any sense, I don't know.
Yeah. You're in Austin now. We're speaking to you from Austin.
Right.
And this is the weekend of the South by Southwest Music Festival. And you'll be performing there. And I'm wondering what kind of songs you're going to be performing. I know you're performing several concerts in different contexts.
Yeah.
And are you going to choose your songs according to the mood of the occasion and play more rockin' things one night and more personal things another?
Well, I'm playing with three different groups. So I'm playing with the Setters, which is a group consisting of Michael Hall and Walter Sauce Humara from the Silos and myself. And the True Believers reunion is definitely dictated by loud guitars and, you know, the rock and roll feel. And then my performance on Sunday is my orchestra, which plays only once a year, really, you know. So that's where I have three strings, three horns, two drummers, electric guitar, bass, and myself, and a pedal steel guitar player.
What does your orchestra perform only once a year?
Well, there's just too many people. It's a logistical nightmare, and it's a beautiful sound, though. I love it, but there's no way that I could take it out on the road or really, you know, get that many people together for any sort of schedule.
It must be expensive to do that, too.
It's very expensive, very expensive. But it's really worth it because the sound is just wonderful.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Alejandro Escovedo's new album is called 13 Years. It's on Watermelon Records. Ryko Disc just reissued the music of his earlier band, True Believers. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.